Okay, good evening, everybody. Parashat Chayei Sarah. Parashat Chayei Sarah, one of the interesting things I think we talked about it maybe, is the story of Eliezer, the slave of Avram, and the story is being told twice. Once like when it's happening, and the second time when Eliezer is telling his story to the parents of Rivka and to Laban. And so, what's the problem with this? There is no problem, but if the Torah is telling the same thing and using the same words, not exactly, it means something. And that's why the Midrash says, Yafa sichatam shel avde avot yoter mitoratam shel banim. The conversation of the slaves of our patriarch is nicer than the Torah of the sons. That means that what the story of Eliezer is nicer than the Torah of Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all those great people that came after. What does it mean? It means that we have to look in this story and understand what is the Torah trying to tell us with the conversation of Eliezer, Eved Avraham, with Rivka, and also with Laban and with the parents. And when we look, we find a few very interesting things. The first thing is that when we try to look for the name of Eliezer, there is no name. We just say it's Eliezer. Why? Because the Torah is telling us Vayomer Avraham, this is tell you what pasuk it is. It's pasuk pasuk hey, no, sorry. Pasuk bet in Perek Kaf Dalet.
Kaf Dalet.
Yes.
Gim Dalet.
Kaf Dalet.
Pasuk. Buch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'akol nehiya bidvaro.
Amen.
Amen.
You've got it?
Kaf Dalet.
Perek Kaf Dalet.
Yes.
Pasuk K?
No, Pasuk bet.
Bet.
The second pasuk.
Ayomer Abraham.
Yes. ויאמר אברהם אל עבדו זקן ביתו המושל בכל אשר לו. So who is he talking to? Nobody knows. Avdo? What, he had only one slave?
No. Avdo, his worker.
The servant.
Yeah, but we don't know who of his house.
But he has thousands of
servants. Over all that he had.
Mm-mm.
So he must be the special
servant.
It must be a special servant.
This is the one who's the head servant.
Dealing with everything.
The head servant. The elder.
Like in Downton Abbey.
Yes, he didn't say the same.
In other words, the Torah is telling us, like, for example, when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, "Kach et bincha, et yachidcha, asher ahavta et Yitzchak." Said, yeah. "Take your son." So Avram is saying, "I've got two sons." Et yachidcha, he says, "What do you mean the only one? Each one of them is only one to his mother. Asher ahavta, that you love. I love both of them."
Yeah.
And then it tells him at Yitzchak. So here we see a similar description that tells us, because what slave can it be? We know only about one slave that is mentioned in the Torah, which is Eliezer. So it must be Eliezer. Okay, so what? Why is the Torah not telling us that it is Eliezer? Why not telling us? And you can try and look through the whole parsha, you won't find once that the name of the slave is Eliezer. Not even once.
Was he a slave or was he a
He was a slave. No, no, he was a slave. He was a slave, but you're talking about a slave at the level that he is one of the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. It's not... This is one of the points that we have to understand. We were born Jewish. So we have a special neshama and we have a special place in the next world. But everybody can join us. It's not like we have the privilege to be born to the Jewish nation. But everybody in the whole world, if he wants to join the Jewish nation, he can. We don't force nobody. We don't try and convince nobody. But everybody who sees the truth and has got this urge to become Jewish, he can become Jewish. So in other words, Eliezer, we can say in another way, is more Jewish than Jewish. Because you see, if you are born to it, it's one thing. But if you choose it, in a certain way, it's a higher level. Because, okay, I was born there. But this guy decides to become one of us. This is a higher level. So Eliezer is in a very high level. Now this Eliezer, why is he at that high level? What is this guy? What is so special about Eliezer? So first of all, we see here that he gives him everything. Moshel bechol asher lo. In other words, he's got the keys of the safe. He is in charge on everything. In other words, does he trust him or not?
Yes.
So now, when he's asking him to find a wife for his son, does he trust him or not?
Yes, of course.
Not enough, because he's asking him to swear.
Yes.
He asks him
because
to swear.
He has a daughter.
Yes, right.
And this is very interesting.
He has a daughter.
And it's a big lesson for us. Big lesson for us. What is the lesson? They said the story, this rabbi came once to one of those, to a Jewish hostel, abroad, years ago. And
hostel?
A rabbi.
A hostel.
Hostel. Oh, okay. A Jewish one, yes. Hotel.
A kosher
okay?
A kosher.
Of course, kosher. Ultra kosher. The Ashgachat HaBadatz. Ayedah Haredi.
Badatz and Mahadrin the same thing.
No, Mahadrin is Mahadrin Badatz. No, Badatz is Bet Din Tzedek.
And
Mahadrin is Mahadrin. There are two different words. And by the way, there is Badatz. There are also a few Badatz.
And Mahadrin Badatz?
Badatz is not Mahadrin or Mahadrin is not Badatz.
No, Badatz is Bet Din Tzedek. That's Rashi Tevot.
Yeah,
Bet Din Tzedek. Nothing to do with it. Mahadrin is Mahadrin. Badatz is Badatz. Mahadrin, you can have a Mahadrin of the Rabbanut.
That's what
it's not a Mahadrin of Badatz.
That's what I've been finding out.
We won't go into it because it's very complicated. This hotel had all the kashrus, okay?
Okay.
So this rabbi is sitting there eating, and suddenly the owner comes to him. Can you do? I've got a few. I've got more. I've got a lot of guests today, and I need somebody to do shchita for a few chickens. Can you do this? He says, "Sorry, I'm not a shofet." Half an hour later, he comes to this owner and says, "Can you lend me $2,000? Sorry?
I'm not a banker.
Do I know you? Do I know you? He says, "I don't know. Half an hour ago, you knew that I'm a shochet, and you were willing to feed all your guests with treifs because I'm not a shochet. What, because I look like a rabbi, so I must be a shochet?" So in other words, when we come to a place, there are people that check the Teudah to see, is it real or is it
fake.
Not a fake. And some people say they see the Teudah, okay, and they sit and eat, no problem. And also, sometimes when it's regarding parnoso or regarding money, we are very particular, we're checking everything. If it's the right cheshbon, if it's the right thing. But when it comes to religious thing to spiritual thing, we don't check so much. It's okay. And this is what we're learning here. Avraham Avinu, from the materialistic side, gave everything and trusted 100% in his slave. But when it become to a spiritual thing, when it come to something important like finding a wife for his son, that from this Am Yisrael is going to come out, here he trusts no one. Even this good slave, he swears, ask him to swear that he's going to do it in a proper
Didn't
way.
Didn't he have a son, a daughter also? Yeah. So
they shouldn't be tempted. How do we know his name is Eliezer if his name is not mentioned?
Because the Torah is telling us, it's like, let's say somebody did something wrong. They said, you know, he's the son of the prime minister. Everybody knows who is the son of the prime minister. So here they say, in so many words, Avdo, his slave, Zkan Beito, Hamoshel Bekol Asher Lo. Like, he's the oldest, and he governs everything he owns. Governs everything he owns is not only a physical thing, it's also the Torah. Because they say, Eliezer, he learned from Avram the Torah, and he taught others. In other words, he was a scholar. He was not just... So, who can it be if the Torah is telling us this description that is very clear, that it is Eliezer, and everybody says it's Eliezer, and all the Midrashim say it's Eliezer, and it's, by the way, when we read it, we don't even think about somebody else. Automatically, when we talk about, and you know what, you ask a lot of people, they don't even realize that his name is not mentioned.
Yeah.
And you can ask everybody. You tell them, who is the slave? Eliezer! I said, oh, show me. And you let them look, you can look. 2 hours, 3 hours, you can check all the words, it's not written.
Google it,
it's not written. Won't help you. And the question is really, why? Because it's very clear to us who it is. So why don't use his name? Now, this is not the only strange thing. So, Vayomer Avraham El Avdo, he's talking to his slave. And then it goes on. He tells him, you go to the land where I was born and you find me a wife there. Okay?
And don't look in the Canaanites.
And then, when we go on with the description, for example, in Pasuk Tet, Vayesem Aved et Yado, then the next Pasuk, Vayikach Aved, and then when we go to Pasuk Pasuk, yes, this Pasuk Yud Zayin is Vayarot Sa'eved, yes, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then in Pasuk Kaf Aleph 17, then after you see 17, go to Pasuk 21.
Ha'ish.
And tell me who we're talking about now. What ish? Mm. Who is this ish that's approaching, that is mentioned here? Who is this ish? Who is it?
Of course, Eliezer.
Who do you think?
The
Eved.
Yeah.
And he's called now not a slave, but a ish.
A ish.
Then, let's go on a little while. Let's go on a little while.
He's
growing.
In importance.
In Pasuk, for example, Pasuk, what is this? Kaf Hei, I think, no? What is
this?
Kaf Vav. Yes, Vayikod Aish. Is again Ish.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go on. And in Pasuk,
Vayarot Slavan
El Ha'ish. Then, Vayavo Ha'ish. Okay?
Vayavo El
Ha'ish. It's again the Ish. And then, Vayavo Ha'ish. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
Eved. Suddenly he became Eved.
No, he is telling us. No, now he is telling them, I am Eved. I am a slave. I am the slave of Avram. Mm-hmm. And then.
Interesting, not that way. He calls himself the slave, and yet here.
In the Torah, call him
Ish.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, they call. Who calls him a slave when he's there?
And then when we go through the whole story and we get to Pasuk Nun Bet, 52.
Nun Bet.
Vayi kasher shama.
Eved Avraham.
Then the next Pasuk. Vayotze ha-Eved.
Interesting.
Did you see what's happening here?
I'm sure there's a lot of...
It starts with the Eved, then he becomes a Ish, and then he's again an Eved. The name is not mentioned, because Atah wants to tell us that the important here is not the name, but the title. Okay? So we have two titles. We have Eved and Ish. What is the difference between Eved and Ish? For example, when we go in Megillat Esther, it's good, but Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan HaBira. Who is this Ish Yehudi?
Mordechai.
Why is the Torah, that the Megillat calling him Ish Yehudi? Well, he was the only Jewish guy in Shushan?
Of course.
No.
No, there were thousands there. What do you mean? So why is he called? Why is he called Yehudi? Because he exceeded the top of being Yehudi. Now, if I want to see a sample, somebody who got to the highest level being Jewish, who was it? Mordechai, a Yehudi. Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan HaBira. Because it's not easy
because the others
to be Jewish and keep the mitzvahs when all around you are goyim, idol worshippers, and all the other stuff that we know from the beginning. Mm-hmm.
The other participate in the meeting in the meal of Ahasuerus, and he didn't participate.
But even
that's not the only thing. But we're not to now in Purim, so we're not going to go in the story of the Megillah.
Yeah,
I just wanted to show you that when you use the title Ish, it means something. The same thing is with Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish Ha'Elokim,
man of God.
Man of God. In other words, he is the one who got as closest as somebody or anybody can to God. There is nobody else that can get so close to God as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he's called Ish Elokim. So, if we take this Ish and put him in our parsha, and this Ish is really a slave, so what is the Torah trying to tell us? That he got to the highest level of being a slave. Doesn't sound good, yes? But if you understand what slave we're talking about, it sounds very good. We are slaves. We can be slaves of our desires, we can be slaves of the Yetzer Hara, or we can be slaves of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Rav Evan Virol says that Avdei Hazman, Avdei Avadim Hem, Eved Hashem Hu Levad HaChufshi. The slaves of time, they are slaves of slaves. Only the one, the free one, is the slave of God. You know, the one who is slave of the neshama, of the brain, he is the real free one. All the others go after their desires, they are slaves of their desire, and we all know it. If you let your Yetzer Hara control you, you are a slave at the lowest level that can be. But if the one who is in control is the mind, the neshama, then you are a free man. Because you do what is right to do and not what the desires want you to do. In other words, if we want to know what it is to be Eved Hashem, who is our teacher?
Eliezer.
Unbelievable. From all the patriarchs, from all the people in the world, the one who is going to teach us what it is to be the slave of God is Eliezer Eved Avraham. So, what is he teaching us?
Relationship.
How did he become in the middle to be an Ish when he is a slave? Eliezer, as everybody said here, had a daughter. And he really wanted his daughter to get married to Yitzchak. And believe me, if he thought about it, so his daughter was a tzaddikah. She was not just another girl. She was a tzaddikah. But Avraham Avinu told him, you are from the ancestors of Ham, and you are we cannot be in touch together. Which is a different story, we're not going into it. So Eliezer, in his mind, he's got the idea that his daughter is the best thing for Yitzchak. But his master, Avraham Avinu, told him to bring a wife from another place. Now, how is he going to do this mission in the best way? So if we see this very interesting, in the whole parsha, everybody is running here. Everybody is in a rush. Let's see, let's look at Eliezer. Eliezer, first of all, Avraham Avinu is blessing him. God will be in your help and you will be successful in your mission. Can there be any better blessing? Here, in because the slave tells him, maybe the girl won't come with me. Okay, I'll find this girl, but she will tell me, sorry, I don't want to come. What should I do? So he's telling him, in Pasuk, we're going back, we're going back.
There's a Perek.
To Perek, Kaf Dalet.
What's Kaf?
Kaf Dalet is 24.
Chapter.
To Pasuk Vav. No, not the Perek Vav. Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Elav Avraham. Ishamer Lecha Pentashiv et Bni Shama. And then, Hashem Elokei Hashamayim. God of heaven, Asher Lekachani Mibet Avi Umeeretz Moladeti. They took me from the land of my father, from the land where I was born. Va'asher diber li, va'asher nishba li le'amor le'zarachai ten ta'aretz hazot. Hu yishlach malachol lefanech. He will send an angel in front of you, and he will take a woman to my son from there. So he's getting a blessing. That sounds very good. But look what is Eliezer doing. When Eliezer gets there, in Pasuk, Yud Bet. Vayomer Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Akrena Lefanai Hayom Ve'ase Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. So he is asking from God to help him to find the Shidduch. In other words, it's not enough the blessing he got from Avram. He himself is asking Hashem to help him. Yeah. Then he's doing this very strange thing. If the girl, I will ask her that I want to drink water, and she's going to give me water, and then offer to give water also to my camels, this is the girl that you chose. So a few of the questions being asked, what is he doing? This is lenachesh, this is guessing, this is using wrong tools. But I said, no, it's not guessing, it's a test. Because he wants to test the girl. If the girl is a good girl, or she is just another girl. And in order to bring a wife for Yitzchak, the son of Avram, to this house, which is chesed, whole chesed, it needs to be a special girl. And
chesed.
Yes. And he is looking. And before he finishes talking, Vayiteren Kira Ledaber,
appears Rivka.
Rivka comes. And in Pasuk,
Rivka.
In Pasuk Yud Dalet, what is this? Pasuk Yud Chet. Pasuk Yud Chet. No, Pasuk Yud Zayin, sorry. Vayarotz Ha'eved Likrata. He is running.
Yarats.
Yes.
Rats.
And then it's not ending with him running.
He ran to meet her.
Let's see.
She ran as well. And she went quickly.
And she hastened.
There are a lot of interesting things here. For example, he is running, she is running. Everything is being done very, very quickly. Which is, by the way, a very big lesson for us. Because sometimes we ask ourselves, is doing things in a rush good or bad?
Bad. Usually it's bad.
They say, chipazon ma'asatan. It's an Arab say. Chipazon ma'asatan. In other words, it's not good to rush. From the other say, they say us, that zrizim makdimim mitzvot. So do you have to, so is it good or bad? Sorry?
You rush to do a mitzvah.
Yeah, so is it good or bad?
To make a mitzvah is good.
So in Hebrew, when you say chipazon, normally it's something that you do without thinking. You are in a pressure, you have to do something. For example, you have to get a plane and you are late. So you're rushing. You go to the airport, you come to the passport control and you forgot your passport at home. Why? Because you were rushing. And it happens to all of us. So in other words, rushing without thinking is no good. But doing things quickly with thinking
is good.
Is the best thing you can do. In other words, everything depends on what you're thinking and how you're doing it. So doing things quickly is very important, because when you do things quickly, so for example, I remember when I started going to exhibitions, and you go to exhibition, a professional exhibition in my field, for example, in furniture, so you come and you see so many furniture, for example, chairs. You can see in one day thousands of chairs. Chairs, another chair, another chair. Now, what would you think is the best way to do this exhibition? Slowly or quickly?
Quickly.
Well, it depends. If you're that's only right. There one day and you want to get an idea of them all, so you heard.
I must tell you, we're talking about big exhibition. Even if you be there for a week, I don't know if you see everything.
Oh, okay.
So do we have to do it quickly or slowly?
Quickly.
Or what is the best way?
The best?
So maybe if I do it quickly, I would get tired quickly and I won't see the things properly. So maybe I should do it slowly. So I'll tell you what I found out.
But if you do it slowly, yes, you may miss something that you really would have liked to
report. You do it
with rollers.
Roller
skates.
On each tree.
Make a list.
Roller skates.
I tell you, it's very interesting. When I try to do the exhibition slowly, to see everything, like, do it slowly so I can check things, I got tired very quickly.
You get more tired.
I didn't finish the exhibition. Because of another chair. But when I did it quickly, I saw much more. I was more concentrated on the mission. And I did so much more. Yes, when I came to the room at the end of the day, I was very tired. But I did it. Why? Because when you do things with
merits,
when you're enthusiastic, when you do it with energy, you do them much better than when you do it. Because when you start doing slowly, and so, you know, you're getting tired quicker. It's very interesting. Why? Because
it's true. If you walk slowly, you
now,
get more tired.
Now, this is in my... And when I see... I'll tell you that I'm talking about my field. Once I went to an exhibition, it was for decoration, not only furniture. And I went to a hall that was for lamps. After 4 booths, they all look the same to me. All look the same to me. So in other words, you know, it is very important how you do things. So here, the Torah is telling us, when you want to do something,
your mission,
you want to do it in the best way, you do it quickly. Especially when there is something to worry about that will interfere in your mission. And if you do things slowly, a lot of things can come and interfere in the middle.
I can tell you an example of life that when you are not pensioner and you have the house and the children and the work and everything, and you do everything in one day. When you are a pensioner, you have...
All the time.
All the time, and you do not
That's, by the way, it's very interesting. We were just talking about this, I think, yesterday, that they say about Esther, about Sarah, that she had beautiful life, and she enjoyed her life from the inside, from the outside. And everybody is asking, how can this be? You know, Sarah was twice taken to palaces of kings, which she was, they took her by force. You know, it's not a nice thing for a woman. Then she didn't have any children till the age of 90.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was thrown to the fire. So in other words, how can I say that all her life, that's what Rabindra says, was joy and happiness? Simcha v'sason.
She was happy with her lot.
What?
She was happy with her lot.
Why?
Because she had good, happy genes.
Because she had
something to wake up in the morning for. Mm-hmm. She had a mission. And the mission was to spread the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a mission in life, and you know where you're going and what you're doing,
you must be busy.
You live differently. You enjoy life. A real joy. Because you know I've got a purpose in life. Because if somebody goes in life without a purpose, nothing. It's like when you're talking about going to pension. So people that work, I see, for example, my father, all his life he worked. The minute he stopped working, things gone down. My uncle, the same thing. So in other words, and it's also, if you want to see an interesting point, is when you go to old age homes, you can see two kind of people. Those who stare at the walls, and those who are full of life. Especially when you go to a religious old age home and you see all the people that are learning Torah, and they can be sometimes the age of 100, but they feel like they're 50. From the other side, those who've got no Torah, they are depressed. They've got nothing to live for. So if you have a purpose, you live differently. So Sarah Imenu had a purpose in life. So she enjoyed her life because she knew why she is in this world, and she had a mission, and she was going on this path. He was doing it. This is Sarah Imenu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're talking about doing things quickly, everybody in our parsha is doing things quickly. It's not only Eliezer. It's Rivka also doing everything correct. She's running. And it's something also very interesting when we look at Rivka and we look at Eliezer. Rivka is offering to give water to 10 camels. You know how much a camel drinks?
How much? 200 liters.
How much?
No? 120 liters, a lot.
A lot,
a lot. Now, 10 camels? This young girl?
2 years.
It sounds reasonable?
No.
Now, look at this Eliezer. What is Eliezer doing? Eliezer, in Pasuk, Kaf Aleph, is written, Ve'a'ish mishta'ela, macharish ladat ha'itzliach Hashem darko. You've got it?
Yeah.
What does it mean, Aish Mishta'ela, Macharish Ladat, Aitzliach Hashem Darko? What is the Torah telling us? Eliezer
amazed.
Is there,
amazing.
He's amazed, and he's like standing silently to know if God made his way good, if he's successful in his way. Sorry. You tell if the girl is going to give you water and offer to the camels. It means that you are successful.
Yeah.
Now, the girl is running backwards and forwards, and he is still thinking, maybe I'm not successful? Well, what's going on here? And another thing, why doesn't anybody helping her? He's got 10 slaves with him. He's not alone. And they all, big people, standing there watching this little girl giving water to 10 camels, running backwards and forwards, it could take I don't know how many hours. And they're all standing looking at her, not helping. It sounds ridiculous. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when she offered this girl to water 10 camels, he said, maybe I have a problem here. Maybe this girl is one of those who talk a lot
and
don't do anything. So he had to wait till the last camel drank to realize that this girl is not just talking, she's doing. Then, immediately, he gave her the presents and he didn't even ask who she is.
Yeah. Later. No,
only later is asking who she is. Yeah. By the way, when he tells the story, which is also a big lesson for us, to the family, he is saying, first of all, I ask who she is, and then I gave her. Which is a lie. Yeah. Because that's not what he did. Now, why is he doing this? There are a few reasons. One of the reasons is that if he would have given her it before he asked who she is, so who is going to get it now? The family, because she's only a girl. But if he gave it to her as a present for a shidduch, for engagement, so it belongs her to her. So this is the reason he changed it, from two reasons. First of all, it sounds ridiculous that you give a girl that you don't know those presents. And then also, if he gives them before he knows who she is, it means they gave it to the family. And now, when he's changing the story, it sounds reasonable. He first of all asks who she is, and then he gave it to her. When he gets there, after Rivka is watering all the camels, giving them water, and now they're going. When he gets there, now he is after a long day. Didn't eat. He drank a lot of water, yes, but he didn't eat. And they offer him, opening a table, offering to food. What is he doing? Is he eating?
No.
He says, no. Before I eat, I want to tell you the reason I'm here. Mm-hmm. Eat first. No, sit, it's nice, sit, eat, and then tell them, you know, I came here for a shidduch. No.
First the mission.
First of all, I want to tell you why I'm here. And then, he says to them, you, if you give me the girl, it's okay. If not, I'm going somewhere else. No, this is very, calm down. What's going on here?
Now he says, he find already the girl. Why he put
the condition? Then, the next morning he's told, I'm going to take her, the next morning I'm going to take her back to Yitzchak. He says, why not calm down, let her realize what's going on. Let her adjust herself. Says, no. What is the rush? Why is he doing all those things so quickly?
Because he's got a mission.
And?
He doesn't want them to change their mind.
And
he can't wait to get back and show his master.
He knows that if he will do things
slowly,
then Yetzer Hara will come into him and start telling him, maybe she's not 100%, maybe this. Mm-hmm. And you know, your daughter, you can marry your daughter, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll find her, says, and he knows this. So he's doing everything quickly so that Yetzer Hara won't come in the middle and disturb.
For his sake.
Of course.
Yeah.
And this is the same for everybody of us. When we do something, we should do it quickly. Hamatchil b'mitzvah omrim lo gmor. Why? Zrizim makdimim. What's the idea behind it? Because you all know, when we do something, we've got time, so a lot of things come in. Oh, 1 minute, I have to do this. But when you do things quickly, when you concentrate on the mission, nothing disturbs you. But when you start thinking, a lot of disturbances come in. Especially when we're talking about a hard mission, a difficult mission. So when we take a mission on ourselves, we have to take it, start it, and finish it. And in order to finish it, we have to do it as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So Yetzer Hara won't come into it.
Matt,
so we're starting to understand how important is this conversation of the slave of Avram and why he becomes suddenly in the middle a ish. Because he got to the level. My Lord told me what to do. I'm doing it. And I'm doing it as quickly as possible so nothing is going to disturb me. This is, if you want to be a slave of God, you also do the mitzvahs quickly. You don't not let nothing go into in the middle. And we all know, when we do sometimes things calmly, we don't, not always we finish it. You know, and it's like an, sometimes on very simple things. For example, you do a new kitchen. And there is a corner that you don't finish. What's happening with this corner?
Never gets
you tell
finished.
Me.
Never gets stays
never
there.
Gets
that's true.
And that's a very simple example. If you do something, you have to finish it. You have to do it as quickly as possible and finish. When you start delaying things, you don't finish it. Mm-hmm. That's in life, in
don't
the physical side, and also in the spiritual
today.
Side. Sorry?
Don't yes? put off for tomorrow what you can do today.
Yes. Or don't put off for tomorrow
he
what you can do to the next day.
He who hesitates is lost. It's interesting,
so,
though, that all the women were at the well. Moshe's work, Zipporah was at the well, Rachel was at the well.
All of the water.
Yeah. It's a big lesson by itself. That the symbol of the whale is a symbol of life. Water is life. Water is Torah. So when you look for a good girl, where do you look? It's like, you know, when I was looking for a girl to get married years ago.
You sent your evidence?
No. I went to look for girls in Bar Ilan University. I didn't land there. Because, you know, I thought to myself, where can I find a good girl? In a pub? In a nightclub? Or in a religious university? A religion says looks the best place to find the wife, and I found her there. And it's really interesting.
But
because
it was a religious university.
It is today also a religious university. Not everybody's religious there, but it's a religious university.
So under the auspices.
Yes.
But why they didn't this director let this?
They are not Haredim, you see. They are not ultra-Orthodox.
I know, but
it's a religious university everybody learns there.
Yeah, but
you have also Arabs learning there. It's nothing.
I'm talking about
the director of the university,
what
he did with Moti
Kedar. But that has nothing
Kedar.
To do with being religious.
That's politics. That's politics. That's nothing to do with religion. That's politics.
When my daughter went there, so they made a rule that all the men have to wear kippot.
Yeah, no more.
And no, because the
no, they say they don't need to
the
afford
the
they vanish.
So they protested and they finally.
This is politics also.
What? Sorry.
No, because that might have said.
She forbid this director for say that it's not obligated to wear kippot anymore in the
yeah.
No, because that's the reason because there are also Arabs there.
But
you want to tell an Arab to wear a kippah?
No, but listen.
It's not his mitzvah. It doesn't
no.
Have
no.
The girls from Torah.
I don't think the Arab will go to the Shirim of Torah. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe I'm. I don't know. I don't think that the Arab will go to Shirim of Torah.
Let's leave the.
That's not the thing. The idea is very simple. When we're talking about why is it near the whale? Because the whale is water, and not only water. It's water that you take out, water out, and you have be'er ma'im chayim, and you have barot nishbarim. We won't go into it. But the connection between water, whale, and shiduch is very clear.
Water is Torah.
Water is Torah, what is also life. And water you have, you can standing water, and you can have moving water. Standing water is no good. It's also another thing. There are a lot of things with it. We can have a whole shiur only on water. We, by themselves, every human being is more than 60% water. The whole creation is built of basic of water. So water is a basic thing. Anyway, he finds the shidduch. He does it as quickly as possible. And by the way, he's teaching us the way to do things. That's why he is not mentioned by his name, because that is not what is important in our parsha. In our parsha, what is important is to learn how to do the mitzvahs of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the best way and to exceed the highest level, which is an Eved that becomes an Ish. And, you know, by the way, another interesting thing, he brings clothes for Rivka. So the Rebbe Migur says, it's a very interesting clothes. How did he know
size?
Measure, yeah.
No, it was one size fits all.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if she at the age of 4 or 8 one or 20 or 30.
What if she was just a little girl, how would he know?
So the Rebbe Migur, one of the Rebbe's Migur, says a very beautiful thing. He says he didn't bring clothes in order for her to wear them. He brought her clothes to show how, what kind of clothes you wear in the house of Avraham. Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't wear clothes like princes you have now in the streets, but you have wear modest clothes. A proper clothes. So in other words, he showed that that's the way we dress in the house of Avram, which is a very interesting idea. And it's written very clearly that he brings dresses. And which means, how can he bring dresses? Doesn't know her size.
Was she really 3 years old?
This is, again, something that I read. Every time I see this, this is not a story. The Torah is not a story. It's not telling us about, let's say, in the spiritual way, if somebody thinks that we're talking here about Avram as a person and Yitzchak and Sarah and Rivka, this is only the story which covers the truth. And the truth is that when we talk about age, it doesn't mean a physical age, a biological age. It means a mental age. In other words, when the Torah is telling us, the Midrash tells that Avram was the age of 3 when he discovered God. And by the way, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says he was the age, I think, of 5. Well, what's the difference? It's a big difference. If you look at the development of a kid, you will see the age of 3, he starts to asking questions, but they're not very clear. But at the age of 5, there are very clear questions. Maze, what is this? Maze, what is this? He wants to know. He is curious. He sees things, he asks. In other words, what the Torah is telling us, when you want to find God, you should behave or look at think life as a kid at the age of 4, at the age of 5, that discovers it in the first time and he wants to know what it is. Otherwise, you will not get the right conclusion because you have all those ideas inside you. That's, by the way, the same thing when there is a letter in the Torah that is not very clear. So who do we talked about it a lot of times. The normal thing would be you will call us a first stab to tell us if it's right or wrong. But that's not what the halacha says. You call a kid.
Oh, if a child can read it, then
and if a child can read it, it's okay. And if not, it's not okay. Why? Why is it not more logical that a guy that Sofer Stam will tell us if it's right, a professional, that it's right or wrong? Really. No. And you know why? Because our mind works in a very interesting way. You see what you want to see, or what you used to see. And you can find that they did a lot of experiments like this. Mm. When you take a sentence that everybody knows, and you change the letters, you let somebody to read it, he reads the right sentence. Though it's not written there. For example, Kavedet Avicha Ve'et Imecha, you change the letters, you can try it at home. You will find out a very interesting thing. Most of the people will read Kavedet Avicha Ve'et Imecha, but it's not written. So it said Kadeb Te Vicha, but he will read Kavedet Avicha Ve'et Imecha.
That's why when you do proofreading of something, you're encouraged to do it backwards from the wrong direction, because then you will pick it up.
Then we'll find out.
Yes,
yeah.
But it's true.
So this is the reason that they call a kid.
That happened to me as a child. We were reading poetry, and I said, there's so many poems written by this man, Arthur Unknown. Mm-hmm. Now, it was author Unknown, but for years I read it as Arthur Unknown, until somebody said, what are you talking about? Because I saw I just saw it wrong.
Exactly.
Now,
so
now it's with WhatsApp, everybody writes with mistakes. You have to be able to, you have to be able to guess.
So, so we see that our mind works in a way that sometimes you see things that are not really there. That's why, for as we said, the Torah, you call a kid that he's clear in his mind. And this is when the Torah is telling us the age of 3, the age of 4. So Rivka was innocent, like a child at the age of 3. It doesn't have to be... At the age of 3 years, I hope so.
I mean, God.
But again, that's... We have to understand that the Torah is not really... every time we have to take things in the simple way. We have to understand what the Torah is trying to tell us. And today we learn an unbelievable lesson about seeing what is inside the words and how you use the words in a certain way to a level that you learn so much that it's unbelievable. And as we said, you see things that are not there. Everybody's certain that Eliezer is written here. As we said, it's the same thing. But he's not written here. But when we read what's written, in our imagination, Eliezer is there. And you know, I used to do it and ask people, said, who is the guy, the slave? Eliezer! He's like, find me his name. And they're looking. They're looking to find his name.
I will ask Rav Ishan.
No, Rav Ishan, I'm sure he knows about this. Midrash, he knows about this thing.
But it even teaches you manners.
Of course, this is the whole Sefer Bereishit is manners.
But she didn't talk to him until he'd finished his drinking. Then she spoke to him.
It's not only this, he's asking a question, he's answering in the right order. And
polite. What?
So
when he became a servant in the house of
Avon,
when he went to ask her to go with him to marry Yitzchak,
yes,
he became a servant.
No. Again,
no. Then he would, then he becomes an ish.
He was ish.
Because he got to the mission and he is doing the mission in a way. This he is a master of. It's not a slave anymore. He's a master. He's a master of on his desires. Okay. He's got a daughter. He wants. He deep inside. He would be very happy if his daughter got married to Yitzchak. What a better shidduch can he find for his daughter? But he knows that that's not what's going to happen. And he's doing it in life also. Sometimes we think that what we want is the best thing for us. But the real truth is that it's not. And God is like showing us a different way. And sometimes we fight it. And we don't realize that we're doing the wrong thing. It happens in life. Now, Eliezer understands. If Avraham Avinu tells me this, this is what it is. Why? Maybe I don't understand. But that's the way it should be. But I have to do this mission in the best way. So he's doing it. He's doing it to the way that the Midrash says, Yafa sichatan shel avdei avot, the conversation of the slaves of our patriarch, is more beautiful, is nicer than the Torah of the sons. Which is an unbelievable thing. But now we understand why. Because a lot of strange things are happening here. And we also see this unbelievable chesed of Rivka, which is really unbelievable. You won't find many, many, many cases like this.
She's special.
Yes, that is why she is chosen to be our mother. And by the way, when she comes to the oil of Sarah, it says, Katu, A'oela. A'oela, oil and a hay. Oil Hashem. This oil was a light there, lit the whole time. But when Sarah died, it stopped. Another three things were happening all the time. When Rivka came to the oil, everything came back. To show us that Rivka is the replacement or the continuance of Sarah Imeinu. Ezrat Hashem, I hope that we will learn a little from this interesting man, which is called Eliezer.
Let me ask you.